Father, I just want to thank you for being a God who is almost beyond description. And Lord, as we spend time today looking at Psalm 150, and for all that means to us, Lord, I pray that you would free us. I pray that if there's anything that is binding us right now, that it would be taken away, Lord, and that we would have the opportunity to praise and worship your name, because that's what you call us to. And as we look deeper into the psalm, as we've come to the end of our study of David, as we look specifically at the last words of the psalm, and we see, Lord, it's just all about praise. It's all about praising and uplifting your name. So I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we would just lift your name on high. We look forward to the things that you have planned for us, and we lift this time up to you in the name of your Son. Amen.
All right, you guys want to go ahead and stand up? We're going to start off with "How Great Thou Art."
Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Oh, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, oh, how great thou art. Oh, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
How great thou art. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God this morning. Lord, we just welcome you here this morning, Father. We welcome your Holy Spirit to this service, Lord. May you just open our hearts to your words this morning.
Now we're going to do things a little bit differently today because we're at the end of our study of David. And the last psalm, Psalm 150, is a psalm of praise. And so what we're going to do today is we are going to break up looking at the psalm, and then you're going to have a chance to respond to God with your praise. And I think that, in a sense, for some people, this is probably one of the hardest things that we do because maybe we're reserved. And for us, even for me, when I was brought up in the Presbyterian church, it was very subdued. And when we went to church, it was high church, and we sat down during the hymns and stood up as we were called to. But a lot of it was just us singing the words. And when people did have any kind of a response, sometimes people would look and say, "What's wrong with that person? And why are they doing that? Why are they raising their hands?" You know, for me in my youth, I'd be like, "Yeah, touch down Jesus." When they would be raising their hands, I was very disrespectful. Forgive me, Lord, forgive me. And sometimes we would look at those people because on occasion people would come into the church who were very free. And they would worship the way that God did that. And for us who are a very subdued congregation, it would be like, well, why? Why would you think that that's okay? We're in church. But really, I think that we've done that. The church, with quotation marks, has sometimes done that, and we've restricted God. Because when David wrote this, the writer of the psalm, he is exuding confidence and ecstasy, just being so excited to come before the Lord. And I think for us, we don't do that. That we come sometimes to church and we're like sitting on our hands. And we're singing things like, Hosanna, Hosanna. And we're yawning and we're kind of thinking about other things. We're not allowing it to be. What does that mean? What does it mean to come into God's presence to praise Him for all the things that He has done in our life? We have some kind of a restrictor that stops us. This psalm is saying, don't do that. We have an opportunity to come before the Lord and to be able to express ourselves in full of our thanks, whatever that might be. One thing that I've had in my life that has always been a hard thing is I don't like people to tell me how to worship. We had a teacher at our school, and when I would go on the junior high retreats, she would actually force the kids to stand up and have these extended worship times. And I, as a teacher, I got a little bit upset, and I had a hard time with that because I didn't like her to say, this is the way you have to do it. Now, I appreciate the fact that she had a great passion for worship, but it doesn't mean that you have to do something that's fake or uncomfortable. But what it does mean is to the fullness that you're able to worship God. For some of us, maybe it's silence, sitting in silence and having those words in ourselves and just having that on our heart. For some of us, it might be to stand up and to dance, and to let that out that way, because that's what they did when they sang this song, when the Hebrews sang this song. They were coming into the temple and they were thanking God for what He had done. And so this was something that they did, and it was passionate. I watched a little bit of the basketball things yesterday, and my team, my Bruins are out, so with these other teams I really don't care. But you see the fanaticism of these people when their team is there. I mean, it's almost to the exclusion of anything else. The Gators are here and they're doing all this, and I'm watching that and I'm like, you losers, Of course, my team lost, and so I can't say anything about the great Bruins and, all those things that we have done. But you see these people to the extent of it's almost not real. That they have these people, these gladiators, playing this game to the extent of, tears and just anxiety. And it's almost like their life comes to an end. When Arizona lost last week, I mean, there was like a riot on campus because the students were so upset at a referee call. I'm seriously? And people do it. We do that. I remember when the Lakers won a few years ago, back in when they were good, if you can remember that far back. And people were like lighting cars on fire. I'm like, this is crazy. And then we come to church. Come thou fount of every blessing. And it's almost like, man, just pull it out of there. Where is it? Where's the joy? This is what we're called to. This is not... I think far too often we look at this and we say, this is like an optional part of my faith. If you're really happy, if God is who He says He is, then we need to show it. And we need to be free enough to say, I don't care what anybody else thinks. This is my God. And I've got to be able to be expressive that way. This is what the psalm is all about. Bob has talked so deeply about so many different things about David. But the thing that strikes me all the time is David is a man after God's own heart. But we all have the same opportunity. It's not that David is excluded from us. It's that we are and can have the choice to be like David and to do that. And for some of us, that might be the hardest thing, to express it, because we're afraid. There's just this fear of like, well, what are people going to think if I do that? I remember this lady growing up, and she praised God really loudly, but it didn't sound very good. And so you could tell when she'd start singing and praising God to the... And she wasn't doing it to cause a problem. She had the joy of the Lord in her heart. But man, when she started singing, it was just like a cheese grater was going on top of your head. And so the Lord may have appreciated it, but a lot of other people didn't. And so people would just kind of move away from her, didn't stop her. And people would kind of make comments. But I always respected her for the fact that she did not care. That she did it for God. She wasn't doing it for anybody else. And I think that has to be our mantra. That has to be the things that we do. Go ahead, Joyce. You can put the first slide up. These are just some ideas that I came up with about praising God. Man was created. Man and woman, as mankind, was created to praise and worship the Lord of hosts. We are called to do this. This is why we're here. You know, we always think about what's the meaning of life. That's the meaning of life, is that we were created to be in a relationship with the Creator of all things, and part of that response is that we praise and worship Him. If God is who He says He is, and He built these incredible mountains, and He gave us life, He gives us the next breath, what is our response? Oh, well, you know, Hosanna, the King of Kings. You know, we don't express it. And I'm not trying to legislate how you worship, but I'm saying, if you have joy, if you have a reason to be joyful, literally what this passage talked about is as you come into the worship, it's to let go of all the things that are binding you. You know, what are we all bringing today? What are the things, the problems we're bringing? Our minds are going ahead to the next, you know, the next hour, the next day, the next week, and we're thinking, these are all the things we have to do. We have a block to have us praise the Lord. He says, let it go. Let it go and let your heart reflect what you truly feel about who your King is. Everything else needs to get pushed aside. And believe me, I think and I know that He understands how hard it is to do that. But that's what we're called to. This is it. We get excited about so many different things. And I talked about our sports teams. You know, you go and see the Dodgers. And you see them and you're like, you know, I watched yesterday before they got beat up pretty bad, and a player goes up and the fans go crazy. They play the music and it's like, he's going to hit a home run. No, he strikes out, you know. But we get so passionate. We get passionate about our jobs. We get passionate about our houses and our things, and we, in a sense, we praise and give them adoration because of the devotion we show them. Those things are part of life. You're going to have those things. But ultimately, the question is, what do you do with God? 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatever ye do, do it all to the glory of God. Everything. That pretty much covers it. Whatever. Whatever you're going to do, do it to the glory of God. The meaning of praise is to bestow approval upon, to honor, to worship, to glorify. The Hebrew word is yada, which means to stretch out the hand, to worship with extended hand. It means, like I said, to let go of those things that stop you. You know, just imagine as we kind of look deeper into the psalm, imagine a group of people coming into the temple and singing this song, and how powerful that is. And I want to tell you that even with our numbers here, if we really praise the God to the fullness that we're able to, it's going to please the King. And that's what we need to do. You know, for some of us, you know, Joel kind of teased me that I should stand up here and dance. And I would be a little bit afraid to do that. You might be a little afraid. I'd probably fall off. But that's the freedom that we should have before our King. And that's what this psalm is calling us to. So all the things we talked about David, all the things that Psalms is bringing, this is the final thing. You know, 150 Psalms. The first one is the same amount of verses, and it talks about blessed be the man who does these things. This last one is praise the Lord. And it says it over and over again. And it's the idea of not only from ourselves in our individual worship, but also corporate worship together. This is what God calls us to. All right, Joyce, go ahead. This is the first two verses. So what we're going to do today is we're going to go through a couple verses, and then we'll do some singing. We'll have a responsive reading. I'm going to give you a chance to respond back to God for the things that He's done. And then I'll come back up and we'll go through a couple more verses. So the first verse, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It means hallelujah. Praise the strong and mighty one. This is our King. This is our God. This is the thing that's most important. Praise Him in His sanctuary. And it means that, you know, this is His holy house. This is the people that come and are part of being in the temple or being whatever house of worship it is, and that's us. So that's calling for us to be like out of our hearts full of gratitude, we're praising God. And if I went around, if I stopped right now and I said, "Do you have things to be thankful for?" I would challenge each one of you to think about those things, whether it's family, or friends or whatever it might be, and think about how those things make you feel. The greatest thing about those gifts that you've been given, like grandkids or parents or whoever it might be, think about the fact that you're here in your life. Think about the fact that we're able to kind of worship in this place. We have so much to be thankful for. And we tend not to look at those things. We look at our complaint list. We say, yeah, that's fine, God, but here's my complaint. This is calling us. No, we're letting go of those things. The complaint department is outside, and we'll deal with that later. When we come here, it's to open our hearts and to say, God is good. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. That's basically saying, throughout creation, praise the Lord. Praise Him. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. It talks about what He has done. He talks about all the things. Our God has forgiven us. And our response should be, hallelujah! He's forgiven us of our sins. Jesus died on the cross so that we don't have to put ourselves there. God's given you life. He's given you an incredible creation. He's given you so many things. Make the list. Make the list of the things that you're thankful for and praise the King. Praise Him. Have that your heart full of praise. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. It's really interesting, too. I looked a little bit about the Hebrew, and this is really the first place where it talks about praising God, the strong God. The strong God for what He's done. And having that attitude of lifting Him up. We've dedicated this time to God's glory so that that should be respectful. And the part where it talks about the mighty heavens, that talks about all of creation praising God. Not just here, but just imagine for a second, if we can put ourselves in eternity and have the celestial church and all the believers, all the people who worship the King, what that might sound like. I think it defies our imagination. You know, even in times where it's been a small group, I have felt the presence of God, and that's changed my life. Worship has changed my life because of who God is to me. Because I have the chance. You know, sometimes I'm just such a broken mess, but God comes and says, I am here for you. And my only response, the only response I have is I praise you. I praise you, God, for all those things that you've given me. I praise you even for the struggles you allow me to go through to make me the man that you want me to be. And it's an attitude. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. This is a quote that I got from a study. It said, His being is unlimited. And our praise should correspond. If God is who He says He is, then our praise should go beyond anything that we can think or imagine. He possesses a multitude or a plenitude of greatness, and therefore He should be greatly praised. Praise the Lord. All right, worship team, come on up.
So we're going to sing a couple of songs that David wrote. We figure before Mike finishes talking about the second part of Psalm 150, we're going to go ahead and we're going to sing it. If you guys want to stand up, you can. The song is Hallelujah at Adonai. In case you didn't know, that means praise the Lord in Hebrew. It's basically just the words of the next 4 or 5 verses in the...
Praise Him with the cymbals, praise Him with the dance, praise Him with the shofar, praise Him with your hands, praise Him with the timbrel, praise Him with the harp, praise Him with the drum and the flute, praise Him with your heart. Hallelujah, Adonai, hallelujah, Adonai, hallelujah, Adonai. Come and praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Adonai. Hallelujah, Adonai. Hallelujah, Adonai. Come and praise the Lord. Praise Him with the cymbals. Praise Him with the dance. Praise Him with the shofar. Praise Him with your hands. Praise Him with the tremble. Praise Him with the harp. Praise Him with the drum and the flute. Praise Him with your heart. Oh, hallelujah, Adonai. Hallelujah, Adonai. Hallelujah, Adonai. Come and praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Adonai. Hallelujah, Adonai. Hallelujah, Adonai. Come and praise the Lord. And let everything that has breath come and praise the Lord. Praise Him with the cymbals, praise Him with the dance, praise Him with the shofar, praise Him with your hands. Praise Him with the tremble, praise Him with the harp, praise Him with the drum and the flute, praise Him with your heart. Hallelujah, Adonai, hallelujah, Adonai, hallelujah, Adonai. Come and praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Adonai. Hallelujah, Adonai. Hallelujah, Adonai. Come and praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Adonai. Hallelujah, Adonai. Hallelujah, Adonai. Come and praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Adonai. Hallelujah, Adonai. Hallelujah, Adonai. Come and praise the Lord. Come and praise the Lord. Come and praise the Lord.
This next song is the most popular song, the most popular worship song on the planet. You may have not known that. When you look up, you go to like Bible Gateway or anything, and the most looked up chapter in the entire world, no matter what country you're from, is Psalm 23. So who knew that David would still have the number one hit? Isn't that great?
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over, and surely goodness and mercy will follow me all of the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, forever.
Just worship the Lord.
And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And surely goodness and mercy will follow me all of the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, forever. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, forever and ever and ever. The Lord is my shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, oh no, forever, forever. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, only He restoreth my soul.
Oh, praise you, God. Praise you, God. Amen. Hallelujah at Adonai. Go ahead and be seated.
So as we just sang in the 23rd Psalm, you know, remember too that God's going to be the only one that's going to be able to satisfy those needs that we have. I think a lot of times we look and we try to fill our lives with so many other things. And that's where the praise comes in for the human parts of us. And it's normal, and I'm not condemning you, but I'm challenging you to say, if God is the most important thing to you, then our life has to show it. And this is just part of a reflection. It's like, praise is an outflowing of everything that's inside. You really can't keep it in. And we need to live that way. You know, I've told you many times that, you know, I was such a big fan of the Beatles and their songs. When their songs come on, I know them. You don't even have to, you know, you can play like a couple bars, like name that tune, and I can sing and tell you that. But it's different for me sometimes with Scripture where I should. Those things should be burned in my heart and ingrained because of what God means to me. No matter how much I like the Beatles or whatever your band is that you care for, there's no saving power within them. There's enjoyment, and there's no problem with that. But how much more should we enjoy God and put Him in that place of having that mantle, that praise and worship? You know, praise the Lord. And we come sometimes to our worship, and because of the things that are just pulling us down. You know, my picture is of us just being so restrained. And that's what the evil one wants to do to you and to me, is to stop you from praising God and remind you, yes, but what about all these things? Why would a loving God allow you to go through this pain? Why would a loving God allow people in your life to get sick or people to die or lose your jobs or have a struggle? You know, because God has everything. The cattle on a thousand hills belong to Him. Why doesn't He give them to you? And so we get caught up in those little things. Instead of saying, you know what, God, everything that I have, all of my being is because of You. You've given me breath. You created me. And so out of that creation, out of that breath that the Lord has given us, this is our response. And this is our challenge. And so what I want to do is to push on you a little bit. Because I think this is what the psalmist is calling us to. Imagine just the people, the throng of people singing those songs. Sing the 23rd Psalm. You know, that song. It's only because of what God's given us. He's never going to leave you. You know, His goodness. And we want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's right. Thank God for those things. Don't just look at the temporary. We look at our feet and it's like, I can't take another step. Yes, you can. Because God has ordained it for you to take another step. And no matter how dark it is, we have a promise that the Creator of all those things is there with you. And so our response is, praise the Lord. You know, when the hard times come, praise the Lord. I may not like it, but Lord, I'm praising You for this. All right, let's look at the next two verses. Okay, verses 3 and 4. Praise Him with a trumpet sound. They talk about the trumpet is associated with very, very specific, powerful times. And I wrote these down. Is associated with the grandest and most solemn event, such as the giving of the law. They called people together with the trumpet. This was something that you heard and you came together. The giving of the law, the proclamation of Jubilee, the coronation of Jewish kings, and the raging of war. If something was going down, they were going to let you with so far as to be able to play that. And call together, and even more powerfully for us. It is thought of as in a reference to the coming of our Lord and the second advent. When God comes back and the dead shall rise, we will hear the trumpet sound. So he's saying, praise him with trumpet sound. That means, and if you don't have a trumpet, you know, Mitchell plays a trumpet. I was thinking about having him come up here and playing a little bit for us. He's like, there is no way that that's happening, Dad. But it says, what can we do then to be able to give that significant response to God? Well, I don't know what it is for you. It just might just be stopping in the middle of your work and saying, praise the Lord. And they'll say, call security. We're having a problem over here. But you know what it is? The idea is for us to be able to give that powerful statement, like with a trumpet, with a sound, and people would come together. It's time to praise the Lord. It's time to do these things. We gather with that and have that heart. This is, for us, this is the time that we gather in the temple. You know, for Sunday morning, if we used to have a bell out there before somebody took it, you know, just imagine, you know, ringing the bell. And if we didn't have our cell phones, it's like, yeah, I'm on my way. But if we could ring the bell, you know, and we would come because it's time to worship the Lord. And we would know that this is the signal. And then once we're here, let's praise the King. Let our hearts be full of gladness. You know, even in times when I have seen when people struggle, it's amazing to me to hear the songs of praise. I was just in Washington, D.C. at the Holocaust Museum, and they run at the end of it, if you've never been there, they run this loop of people talking that have been survivors. And this one guy came on, and I've seen it so many times, but it's my favorite part where he goes, he's with his friend, and he says his friend is saying his prayers. He goes, and the guy goes, I'm thinking in my head, we've already done the morning prayer, and we've already done the evening prayer. What is this guy praising God for? And he goes up to his friend, and he said, excuse me. He goes, why are you praising God? And he goes, I've got a lot to praise him for. He goes, are you kidding me? We are basically in living in hell, and we're going to die. What do you have to praise him for? And he goes, I'm praising God that I'm not like my guards. I'm not like the people that are holding us in captivity. And he had that heart to praise God in a concentration camp. And for me, I complain when I've got an overgrown toe nail and it stops me and it hurts my foot. And I stop and I'm like, God, really, are you going to do this to me right now? And I miss the mark. And I'm being totally honest with you. I need this more than any of you need this. But we need to be in a position to do praise it with a trumpet sound. Praise him with a lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. It basically talks about all the instruments that there could be. We're going to have a cymbal in a minute. I've got a little prop there to cymbal us up and get us going. But just imagine all these things. It represents that every part of us, everything that we have and we're able to do, is to be an honor and glory to him. So think about that. Think about that as we're going to do a responsive reading right now, and this response is from Psalm 100. And so when we do a responsive reading, I'll read a part, and then you'll read a part, and then at the end we'll read it all together. But this is, we are able to read Scripture together to praise the King. And so let it come out. Let it be of power and of something that is going to honor God. Okay, do we have that? There it is. Okay. So I'm going to read the leader part, and then you guys will read the people part, and then at the end we'll read it all together. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Serve the Lord with gladness.
Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Everybody's together. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Praise the Lord.
If you guys want to stand up, you're always welcome to stand up. If you want to dance, you're welcome to dance.
Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's heart. You lead us by still waters and to mercy. and nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise. And all your people sing along. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough.
And so we've talked about the trumpet, we talked about tambourine, flute, and we're on to the cymbal. That's it. So you know, I can hit this. Yeah. That's not bad. But you think about that. Just imagine if Pastor Bob was up here every time, every Sunday, and he'd see somebody go to sleep. He's talking to you. Okay. So you think about that. You know, and this, when you think about the cymbal, and of course I wish I had the really big ones. I had the vision of just getting up here and having my little marching band. But praise Him with sounding cymbals. It means, it's talking to us about, man, the loudest thing. That this too is praising God. We sometimes, you know, we don't live as if His grace is enough. We don't have that response to Him. And we think about, a lot of times we put so much pressure on other people to lead us into that place of worship, but really it's us. It's what we bring. It's not, you know, we need worship leaders, we need pastors, But it's for you. It's your heart. What do you come here with? And to say, this is my offering, Lord, and I'm going to hit the cymbal again because I want to praise the King. And I want people to know that. It's a little obnoxious, and we hear that. And if I kept doing that, it'd be like, okay, let's just take him off the stage. But the idea is the fact that you want people to know that it's not something I'm going to hold back. It's not something I'm going to restrict in myself. And I think for myself, you know, it's something that I honestly sometimes have to work on. I don't sometimes. Sometimes I'm very free, and I allow my worship to go up at all the time, no matter where I am, in my car, in line, you know, wherever. Because God just touches me. And worship is a part of that relationship that I have with God. It's a natural thing. It's not like me going to the dentist and saying, that's got to come out. And I'm like, oh, you know, I don't want that. But sometimes we come to church or we come to worship, and it's like we are dragging this big, huge bag with us of things and reasons not to praise God. I'm not going to praise God because, you know, He's allowing me to go through this, or I'm facing this struggle right now. And our bags are like Santa Claus, but all this burden we're carrying, and we're trying to get it in through the door. And then it's like, hey, good morning, let's worship. It's like, nah. You know, like Ebenezer Scrooge, I'm not going to worship. I don't want to worship God. What are you kidding me? And we have that. That's the countenance that we give Him. And we should all be grateful. And we should be thankful. Just like I said, think about what He's done for you personally. What about what God has done for us? And even particularly, just think about the United States. You know, no matter where your place is on this politically or whatever, God has really protected our country. You know, and as a person who's a history teacher and the things that I've seen and read and going back to Washington, D.C. and seeing what a profound impact God has had on our nation. And people deny that, but you know what? They don't know what they're talking about. And look at some of these things, some of these battles, and just even the Civil War, and looking at the last with Pickett's charge and the fact that within a few feet, our country's dynamic could have changed. And people like Abraham Lincoln, who lost so many elections, and people looked at him like a loser. Okay, they looked at him like, you know, this is like, he's a second choice and probably the greatest president we ever had. And God put the right people at the right time for the right reason. So we can look at that corporately, or the world, World War II, or whatever you want to say. God's in control. And we should be grateful and thankful for all those things, even just as a time of remembrance to thank God for what He's done, for the life that we've had. Yes, our life is full of sometimes challenges. We have symbols in our life that get our attention, though, to bring us back to God, to center on the cross, and to remember the fact that He says, I love you. I sent my Son, part of me, to die for you, to cleanse you clean. And so we hear that with the symbols. The last one, this is the last verse of Psalms. Let all that have breath, everything that has breath, praise the Lord, everything. This is a response to just the total creation praising God. But we're part of that. I mean, and like I said, just imagine right now if these cars started stopping and we had all Pasadena here and we started singing praises to God. How would that seem to you? It would probably just, we'd probably fall down as dead. You know, we'd be like, we just couldn't even believe it. Joe would be like, whoa, his hair would be on fire. But really, what is our part in that? It doesn't matter if there's two people here. If this is all that was here, it doesn't excuse us from praising God. And sometimes we do. We give ourselves a pass and we say, man, you know, it's just like I don't feel like praising God. But you should. There's no reason not to. And that's the part where this psalm really got on me. It's not giving any exclusions. It's not saying, if you've had a bad day, you know, if things aren't working the right way, if there's not enough money in the bank account, it doesn't say any of those things. It says, let everything. It's referring to the fact that we all have that place to be able to come before God and do that. That's what's going to free us from the bag, the burden that we carry, the things that are constantly on our mind, the things that we wish we could change. God's going to be able to give you freedom from that and be able to work in your life when we come to Him and lay the offering before Him. One of the little notes that I put down for my studies, it says, be ye the least or the greatest, do not hold your praises. Give them to God. What a day it will be when all things in all places unite to glorify the one and only true living God. This will be the final triumph of the Church of God. Praise ye the Lord. It ends with that. Praise ye the Lord. It's like one more hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. And that should be for us to be able to move ahead and to go forward as we sing our last song. Just thinking about this. This is the end of Psalms. 150 verses or chapters, 150 Psalms, and this is the end point. This is it. David, this is the last message. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, a couple lessons before we get into our last song. Praise the Lord everywhere for everything. And this kind of ties into, in the beginning, when I talked about, you know, in the sanctuary or throughout the heavens. But it refers to you where you are right now. You know, what's that place that you are? Whether it's being at home with your kids, or being retired, or being working and having your own business, or being a student or a teacher, or a coach, or whatever it is. It's all those places we have an opportunity every day to praise God where we are right now. And God put you there specifically for a reason. For a lot of people, they're going to look at you and they're going to say, how does this person react when something doesn't go right? How does this person react when they're full of praise or when they're full of grieving or sadness? To know that God is still there. So we have an opportunity all the time, 24/7, 365, as long as we may shall live, to praise the Lord. And it also, for everything, what are the things that God's giving you? Yeah, we have a list of things that are really hard. All of us do. And I wish and I pray God's blessings over you for the burdens that are weighing you down, that are hurting you right now. Because I have my list too. And it doesn't mean that you're excluded from those things. I've heard theology. Some people say, if you follow God, everything goes well. It's not true. It's just not biblical. But they have that those things where they try to make it. What it is that we have an opportunity to have the Creator and praise Him and be in relationship with Him and talk to Him and sing praises to Him and glorify His name for all that He's done, for the breath that I have. I'm going to thank God for every day. Like this guy in the concentration camp where, you know, how many of us would thank God for being there? And he did. And to hear this guy talk, it just shocked his friend. But he realized God is great wherever he was, for everything. Praise the Lord with trumpet sound, whatever sound you can make. A cymbal, a trumpet, a guitar, your voice. Praise the King. Don't be embarrassed of it. Just let it out. Be free. That's my prayer for you. That's what I've been praying for this week, is that we would be free to worship the Lord. Whatever that means for you. If it means sitting being silent, then do it to the best that you can. But if it means standing up and you want to let it go, let it go. And praise the King. Praise the Lord with every breath. The Lord has given us everything. And this is our chance to praise Him. As we sing our last song, let it out. Praise the King as a benediction, as a final praise to Him for all that He's done, for all that you know. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, that's what this song is always supposed to start with, right? That's the ram's horn going there. Told Mike we got to buy one. Learn to play it. Do it.
God of Abraham, of Isaac and Israel, let it be known today that you are God. We offer up our lives as a living sacrifice. Purify us with your holy fire. Holy fire, you are the Holy One, highly exalted One. We've come to worship at your holy hill. Oh, you are the Holy One, highly exalted One, and we surrender to your sovereign will. O Lord God of Abraham, Lord God of Abraham, of Isaac and Israel, oh, let it be known today that you are God. Come now and fill this place. Be exalted in our praise. Let it be known today that you are God. You are God, you are the Holy One, highly exalted One. We've come to worship at your holy hill. Oh, you are the Holy One, highly exalted One, and we surrender to your sovereign will. Oh, Lord God of Abraham, for the Lord, He is God. For the Lord, He is God. And He shall reign forevermore, evermore. For the Lord, He is God. For the Lord, He is God. And He shall reign forevermore. We've come to worship at your holy hill. Oh, you are the Holy One, highly exalted One, and we surrender to your sovereign will. Oh, Lord God, you are the Holy One, highly come to worship at your holy hill. Oh, you are the Holy One, highly exalted One, and we surrender to your sovereign will. Oh, Lord God of Abraham, oh, Lord God of Abraham, God of Abraham.
Amen. Amen. Praise you. Praise you, Lord. We've been adopted into God's family. We are now all children of Abraham. So we're singing about our super duper great grandfather at some point way back there, and it's really a blessing that we've been adopted into that family, the covenant. And Lord, we thank you for it. And let's just finish with the Aaronic benediction again, that the Lord bless you and keep you, that the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, that the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.